Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by University Hospital, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Now, before I introduce you to the two guests sitting in front of me, I want to provide a personal story because it sets the stage for our conversation. I have family friends who live right here in Central New York. They're my parents' age, into their 80s. They have a son who was born with Down syndrome. When I was a child, which was before Sputnik, for those of you who remember Sputnik, babies born with Down syndrome didn't live very long because there weren't resources to help them live and thrive. But our friends didn't just accept that, and today their son is 56 years old, which I think is a remarkable story. He continues to thrive. Turns out that's not so unusual anymore, and that's what our discussion will be this morning. I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Ninka Doza, an assistant professor of pediatrics with a specialty in neurodevelopmental disabilities, and a master's in public health, setting the stage for this morning's discussion. Good morning, Dr. Doza.
Good morning.
That's all a mouthful, isn't it? Tell me, how does the MPH, the master's of public health, tie into this conversation?
Well, we've been very successful in the medical world in delivering acute health care for people with disabilities over the last 50 years. And now the task is to improve access to care and the quality of care for the chronic ongoing conditions that we are treating now that the acute medical problems have been taken care of.
Well, you know, we have a number of doctors who we interview here on HealthLink On Air, and they have that MPH initial after their name. And I wonder, where are they earning that degree? Because I don't think it's right here in Syracuse, is it?
Well, we soon will offer an MPH degree program in collaboration with Syracuse University. So SUNY Upstate and Syracuse University will be offering an MPH program for our physicians here in Syracuse.
Well, that's excellent. I didn't know that. Well, I'm glad I asked the question. I'm glad you could give us the answer. And let me also introduce you, listeners, to the second person in the studio this morning, Jeffrey Timbero. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning.
Now, I have as your title the Project Administrator for the New York State Institute for Health Transition Training.
That is correct. It's a mouthful.
It is, and it fits on one business card.
Barely.
Okay, all right. Well, listeners, you'll be interested in this conversation. There are so many facets to it. I'm hoping we can cover all of them. One of the things our listeners know is that I feel like tools for patients and their advocates are important, and that's really what we're going to talk about. Dr. Doza, tell us about the program that you're running at Upstate for families in the community with children with developmental disabilities.
Well, the clinical programs that we run here at Upstate through the Center for Neurodevelopmental Pediatrics include services for children with autism, and Dr. Greg Liptak and Dr. Lou Pellegrino see those kids.
Mm-hmm.
The Spina Bifida Center of Central New York, and I'm medical director of that program. I'm also medical director of the Physical Disability Program, and we see kids with cerebral palsy and other physical disabilities in that program. We also have a metabolic geneticist and psychologist on staff, and together we serve the kids and families here in this community who have developmental disabilities.
And you know, the kids and families part of it, I think, is extremely important. You have a program for your residents. Tell us about that program.
Yeah.
I think that's exciting.
I teach the residents that a basic tenet of pediatrics is that you cannot help children if you don't help families.
Mm-hmm.
So our parent partners in health education program is a home visit program where residents go into homes of families raising kids with developmental disabilities, and the parents are their teachers.
Aha. And so the residents are learning from those families as they develop their own skills.
Right. They learn about community-based resources and services that they might not learn about otherwise in traditional medical training programs.
I see. Now, the big question, of course, and this is where we started the conversation, is these young people, these children who were born with the disabilities who 30, 40, 50 years ago would not have survived much past maybe, what, their 20s,
mm-hmm.
are now living well into their 40s, 50s. Down syndrome, I know, is one of the disabilities, and you have some statistics on how long they're living?
Well, the good news is because of advances in the delivery of acute health care, such as cardiac surgery for kids with Down syndrome, and also medical technologies like ventriculoperitoneal shunts for my patients with spina bifida.
That's easy for you to say. That's a big word.
Well, these advances over the last 50 years have resulted in dramatic survival rates. It's really a success story. so that about 90% of my patients or patients with developmental disabilities, even those with severe disabilities, survive to adulthood.
They do.
Yeah.
How long do they live?
Well, it depends on the specific diagnosis, but for individuals with Down syndrome, living into the 50s is the norm these days.
It is the norm. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. But that then raises the question, and Jeffrey, this is where you come in. Mm-hmm. Now they're living to be adults. Mm-hmm. So they're not being treated by just pediatricians anymore. They need doctors for adult diseases. Mm-hmm. They need jobs. Mm-hmm. They need to be living on their own. They face the question of whether their parents survive mm-hmm. or don't survive. So, Jeffrey, these are some of the projects you're working on, right?
Yes. Well, I mentioned that I'm administrator for our institute, but another initiative that I've been involved with for many years is Disability Mentoring Day,
uh-huh.
which is an opportunity the third Wednesday of every October for people with disabilities to get out into their communities and to receive mentoring opportunities by local business.
And, you know, at Upstate here at HealthLink On Air, the morning we were working on our show, we actually had one of the mentees come and spend some time with us. It was very exciting. Tell us about the program.
Disability Mentoring Day, as I mentioned, is an opportunity for people to receive mentoring opportunities in the community.
With the idea that they will have jobs.
With the idea that ultimately they may have jobs. Actually, locally in Central New York, we had over 60 companies mentor over 70 people with disabilities in our community.
That's fabulous.
So there's been a very strong showing from Central New York and from Upstate. Mm-hmm. Upstate actually hosted 8 mentees in 7 different departments. Mm-hmm. But it is a community-wide initiative that involves local business, that involves Upstate, that involves other hospitals, that involves nonprofit agencies, that involves vocational rehabilitation, the New York State Department of Labor. It is a year-round event and initiative to highlight the employment of persons with disabilities, which, despite all the efforts that have been made over the past 20 to 30 years, the unemployment rate for people with disabilities hovers around 75%.
75%. All right. Let me see if I can get my arms around this, because this sounds to me then like this is a community situation, a community that needs to embrace people with disabilities, provide them with jobs, but what you're providing them with is thoughts about what directions they'd like those jobs to be.
Yes, that's correct. Many times people with disabilities, and probably young people in general, but in particular folks with disabilities, are not exposed to the world of work, mm-hmm. aren't encouraged to go to work. I recently attended a conference and came to find out that if you're talking specifically about high school students mm-hmm. with disabilities, I think it's fewer than 1% of high school students with disabilities actually have work experience.
Now, these are jobs that are across the board, right? Because the disabilities are across the board. Do I understand mm-hmm. that correctly? And so you might have someone who has a physical disability, but mentally or emotionally would have no problem handling a job, mm-hmm. or you might have somebody who's just the opposite. Is that true, Ninka? Is this what you find?
Yeah, there's a there's a wide spectrum of disabilities, and that's why it's so important mm-hmm. to integrate and to educate physicians, integrate into their training an understanding of the social outcomes and the impact that they as physicians can have in improving social outcomes for our patients with developmental disabilities.
And so I have to think quality of life, too. You must see the same kinds of things in patients with disabilities about how if they like their job, then they feel better about themselves, all
right.
of those kinds of things.
It's interconnected.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Do families that have children with disabilities know about all of these programs?
I think there's, well, Jeffrey, do you want to answer that question? I think that mm-hmm. most families are aware of services through their school districts, mm-hmm. and by law, young adults with individual education plans, or IEPs, those IEPs and the planning process that takes place in school should address transition starting at age 16.
Okay.
So there are, I think most families are aware mm-hmm. of that. I'm not sure how much planning goes into healthcare transition.
And uh-huh.
that's part of what we're aiming to do here with our Transition Institute, is to better integrate health transition with transition yeah. overall.
And when you say health transition, you're talking about that leap between pediatrician
and the adult healthcare world.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And there are many barriers to successful transition, a major one being insurance. Mm-hmm. Young adults age 18 to 25, nearly 1 in 3 have no health insurance
oh, gosh.
In that age group.
Yeah, yeah.
So often transition doesn't really occur.
I see.
Go ahead. The reality is, too, if you think about the schools, is that we can all do a better job. Mm-hmm. I, in my work, have many times met with parents who their child is graduating in 1 month and for whatever reason has not chosen to partake in the services available or has not heard about the services, and it becomes a crisis at that point. So, you know, one of our goals is really to improve communication, to get information out to families, to physicians, and to youth.
Well, you know, that's a great place to mention the fact that people can get in touch, learn more about these programs. We have a couple of different places. You said Exceptional Family Resources is one. What are some mm-hmm. of the places that they can get in touch with you?
Exceptional Family Resources is an organization in town that works with people with disabilities, and that certainly is one organization that folks can contact. The Central New York Developmental Services Office
okay.
is another organization that people can get in contact with.
Very good. And we'll make sure that we put links to all of those on our HealthLink On Air website. Is this something that's being done in a lot of places, or is it unique to Central New York, Dr. Dosa?
There are several programs elsewhere nationwide that are beginning to look at transition for specifically for young adults with developmental disabilities, but we are probably one of a handful of programs working in this area, so it's exciting.
We're establishing the best practice is what we like to say, because we are it at this point.
That's fabulous. So it's very progressive, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And here we are in Central New York. That's great. Well, Dr. Ninka Dosa and Jeffrey Tamboro, thank you so much for coming by this morning. I think this has been an incredible conversation. I know families will be well served.
Thanks, Tricia.
Thank you.
And listeners, we do need to take a break now, but we'll be back shortly. This is University Hospital's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.